This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning here with Koo Soo Chuang. It is now 6 in the morning, Monday, 20th of July. And very quickly, Chuang, how was your weekend? What did you do?
Man, it just went by. I opened my eyes and it was Monday morning. It was just like, poof, gone, finished.
were you out there with the crowds?
Unfortunately, I was. But only one night, because I went to Tropicana Club Italian restaurant. It was quite nice. Very nice. Great pizzas, by the way. We was like tucked away in the corner. So we did our best to social distance.
Yeah, but when you hang out, right, I mean, not only just like in some of the more affluent neighborhoods, because sometimes I'm concerned that what I'm viewing is just like what the 1% or the 10% of KL, right? But it just seems like the whole of KL, even in some of the quieter suburbs, are buzzing. It's like people have been released out of jail, literally.
100%. Friday night, I was out with our producer, Sim, and my God, the whole of Jalan Kasar was chock-a-block. No, if you didn't make a reservation, cannot get in.
Yeah, which makes me wonder, how long is this Good Time Charlie here? Or is it, you know...
Good Time Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, there have been questions about whether this will all change, right, when the loan moratoriums end in September, whether people kind of hold back on their spending because all the cash... freed up from not having to pay the housing loan has gone into restaurants and having a good time.
Yeah, or the shop, or the share market. Monday to Friday share market, Saturday to Sunday, restaurants and bars, you know.
Well, you know, our ministers have come out to say, please go out and spend money, right? There was a message that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin said over the weekend. With Tok Pa also said a few weeks ago.
Spend your money in the national economy, buy local produce, you know.
And for once, we are listening to her, you know, paying attention. But in the meantime, what do you have to tell us this morning, Chuang?
I'm going to send a message to all the monopoly businesses out there in Malaysia, and I'm going to say... this is a story about rivalries and why they're important for you in terms of pushing your quality levels higher.
As for me, I'll be talking about, you know, do we really need to spend as much time as we used to out there? You know, what's the new normal, right? Because I think we need to have that balance. And maybe COVID-19 did allow us to rethink about it. So, you know, tell us, you know, weigh in our conversations. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, some messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was the Riverboat Song by Ocean Colour Scene. Good morning, I'm Wong Xiaoning here with Koo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run, going to be with you till 10 a.m. Now, Chuang, we've got this rather interesting article in the Financial Times, and it's about why I'm signing up to the 5-2 social diet. You know, this 5-2 thing was more about intermittent fasting, right? It was like you eat like 5 days and you fast for 2 days, that kind of thing. But can you do it now in a social life context? That's my question. And this article tries to address that question.
So if you take it literally, right, the 5-2 diet means that on the 2 days? The 5 days you can basically eat anything, right?
Well, not anything, la.
No, yeah, you can. Like, I mean, ice cream and beer and all that kind of stuff, right?
I don't think you're supposed to eat like with abandon, but complete abandon.
That was the whole idea. For 2 days, you just go to like below, like say 400 calories, right?
Yeah.
And then on the five days, you can just go like go crazy, right? Jermaine, right? Go crazy, right?
Okay, I don't agree with the go crazy.
You can binge on ice cream and Haagen-Dazs. So take it literally, right? If you take that to the social context, right, on the 5 days, you can go anywhere, like, you know, go into like throngs of people and just go, right?
Or is it the other way around, where you're like, for 2 days, you're like,
Two days, you're hermitized?
No, 2 days, you're actually out there. Okay, so and then 5 days, you're like...
Hermitized,
yeah,
right?
You're hermit. You become a bit of a house hermit.
So 2 days, you go, you go to like, you know, you go to like markets and like nightclubs and like, you know...
I didn't know you were so happening, Chuang, but never mind.
Say that theoretically, right?
Which aren't open, by the way.
So theoretically, so would you do that? I mean, okay, so yeah, can you do that even?
I'm trying to remember what life was like pre-COVID, which seems like a million years ago, right?
Well, Mid Valley, right? Just say Mid Valley, for example, all the time, chock-a-block, cannot find parking space Monday through Sunday, cannot. One time, same thing.
And now it's different.
And now it's different.
But it's not just the malls, right? It's the whole idea of your social life, everything that you did outside of the house. And when I think about the pre-COVID era, right, it's true, my life was pretty busy. And it felt like, okay, you needed to do ABCD, you needed to see XYZ, you needed to be out there, because if you weren't, you know, were you a loser? I mean, how come you're at home so much? You know, there was this kind of always like trying to catch up with people, catch up with things. And there was a lot of buzz. I mean, we were all busy, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, post-COVID now, you know, COVID forced all of us to stay at home. You know, we literally just had our small little house bubble. And maybe as, you know, the MCO got relaxed, the bubble got wider and wider and wider. You know, initially it was like maybe immediate family. And then now it's like you can mix with the whole world and you can see it. Everybody's out there. And for me, I haven't gone back out there though. I agree with this 5-2 diet because I think I was just too busy. And at the end of the day,
too exposed
and also too physically and mentally exhausted.
Yes, absolutely. Too physically and mentally exhausting. And I think a lot of people don't realize that the more you try and pack into the same day, and this is something that I rail against the YouTubers about, you know, they try and say, oh, this is my, like, you know,
the Instagram life, right?
No, Instagram life is one thing because you have to be seen to be doing whatever, right? But to try and pack as many things into one day as possible, I feel that in the end you don't achieve very, very much. And then you're exhausted at the end of the day. I think what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to do as little as possible in one day. I know I've got a channel called Do More, but I'm trying to actually do less. No, I'm serious, right? So
your Do More means do less, Le Chuang.
In some ways, because when you try and
More of the right thing and less of everything else.
So if I say I'm only going to have two meetings in one day, I'm going to work out once in the evening and have dinner with my family. So each of those four events take on a much greater significance than ever before.
So not only have we both, I guess, become more hermit-like, maybe we've had a refocus on what's truly important. And only do those things, right? I mean, it's not like cluttering your life with just events so that time passes.
Yeah. I've been like that for a number of years already. I've been trying to become more hermitized, more, you know, to put more value on fewer things during the day.
But the COVID-19 also has taught me one thing, that I'm a social creature. I can't go from, you know, go from like what was quite a busy social life to having no social life. I do really miss meeting my friends. I do miss meeting my family, but maybe just not in that crazy schedule that I used to have, where it's like, you know, lunch on Saturday, dinner on Saturday, then, you know, repeat on Sunday.
I can't do that anymore. It's I've also come to realize that although I am a very good social creature,
Yes, you are.
but I don't like it as much. And I realize that I could be maybe an extroverted introvert. Do you know what I mean? Those kind of people.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think we always are a little bit of both.
Yeah, because you want the time away from the crowds, right? You want that. Yeah.
So tell us, what has been the new normal for you in this post-COVID-19 in terms of how you interact with people and how much more are you seeing your friends or how much less you're seeing your friends? Let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, some messages. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Cola by Arlo Parks. Cool name, huh?
Arlo Parks.
And you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. Now, moving on, Chuang, we've got this story about goats. And I, had to ask, what was this goat about? I thought, why are we talking about this Star article about animals?
Yeah, it's about Lin Dan. And both Lin Dan and Lee Chong Wei have both retired. And, you know, Lin Dan is widely regarded as best badminton player of all time, greatest of all time, henceforth goats, right? He won all 9 major titles, several of them multiple times, All England, World Championships, in the process denying Lee Chong Wei, right? So the whole issue now is, at the start of their rivalry, they were bitter enemies. They didn't like each other's faces, let alone each other's personalities. But now, as time has gone by, they like each other. There's a real bromance going on. And Lin Dan went publicly on podcast in China to say that if it wasn't for Lee Chong Wei, I would never have been able to achieve all that I achieved. And this is very, very true, because if Chong Wei did not push him all the way, Lin Dan would not have pushed himself higher. And I think this is very instructive, because the power of competition is huge. If you're not forced to compete, you will never be able to reach your fullest potential, right? Whether as individuals or whether as companies.
And even as countries.
Exactly, even as countries. So I'm trying to make this point in Malaysia, where we've got a lot of monopoly industries, right? From power distribution to, for example, rice production and distribution, even airports, for example, they're called JLCs, right?
Mm.
And you'll never be able to climb the competitive ladder if you don't foster compete with the outside world. And that's what globalization was all about. And now we're going back from globalization, back towards domestic policies with America and all the other countries, China as well. I'm not sure that's a good thing. I'm also not sure that globalization was a great thing, but I'm sure there was something in between, right? And you can see with one individual, Lin Dan, he did become the best in his field because he was pushed all the way. I think Malaysia must be pushed all the way. And all these protectionist policies are detrimental to its fortunes.
But I wonder whether you need to have some balance, though. Because if anything, also this COVID-19 does show us the dangers of, if let's say your economy was completely open and you needed, you know, all these, let's say when we talk about agriculture and food, if we were completely open and we didn't have some form of protectionism and we didn't have some local produce, at the height of COVID-19, when global supply chains, you know, came crashing down and people couldn't get ships across the seas, planes weren't flying, what would that have meant? You know, would we have run out of food? So some self-sufficiency, unfortunately, does mean usually some protectionism, whether in the form of, you know, artificially high trade barriers or some sort of taxes to prevent, you know, the flooding of cheap imports. I don't know. Because this conversation happened actually recently in Switzerland, you know, this landlocked nation, right, which is extremely rich, and came to the conclusion that, yes, they are self-sufficient when it comes to meat, cheese, obviously, chocolate,
yeah,
milk, meat, but very little else because they, you know, land is so expensive there that there wasn't any agriculture, natural, and people weren't that many farmers.
No, you're right. And I think there's definitely a balance to be drawn between globalization and inward-looking policy. You have to find the balance. It's just that I rail against sometimes the fact that these policies are used to the detriment of the country's fortunes with it. For example, with the social policies, right? People are not allowed to develop fully because they believe that they are entitled in a certain way to certain privileges, and you don't realize that there's a world out there that pushes you and must make you better at what you do. And the other day, I sent a chart of the Singapore dollar, Malaysian ringgit history, you know, the cross rate going back to the early 80s, right? In the early 80s, you know, one Singapore dollar would have bought, or one Singapore ringgit would have bought like 90 cents, 95 cents Singapore dollars, right? Near parity, because that's as far back as the Bloomberg chart goes, right? Today, it's over 3.
Yeah.
And in one chart, it just shows how uncompetitive Malaysia has become. Because on the other side, Singapore has had no choice. It's got no natural resources.
But it reigns number one in food security. What an irony.
Yeah. So look, I mean, without that, this is just in one chart, it tells the whole story.
Yeah, I think it's how do you achieve this balance whereby you do need that competition. You want markets to be open, right? Because you also want to encourage entrepreneurs. You want to encourage, like a little bit like America. I mean, if America wasn't so open, maybe we wouldn't see the likes of Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, Amazon. I mean, these are the countries that encourage free enterprise.
Yeah, but I will also say that Facebook and people like that have had some kind of government intervention. You don't get that big without the government on your side as well. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Tencent, Alibaba, come on. Right?
Yeah, Tencent, Alibaba, yeah.
For sure, 100%.
I would say yes. Maybe the model in China allows for this, especially without government support, it would be near impossible. But it's that delicate balance, right? That's the problem. You want competition, but how much competition? Because you also don't want to kill out everybody, right? So let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we have the news bulletin. And to take us there, here's Strawberry Fields Forever by The Beatles. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Good morning. I'm Shaoning here with Kusu Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. And that was Rocket Man by Elton John. Before we take a quick look at what's happening around the world, actually, Sui Chuan Ku tweeted in and said, I think in relation to, you know, that 5-2 rule, right? What's his new normal? And his new normal is basically keeping a distance till a vaccine is widely available.
Yes, but I'm not sure whether it's going to be the all-round solution that everybody's hoping, because the tests are still very early, right? And and some suggestions that immunity from the vaccine is very, very short term in nature.
It might be like the flu jabs where you have to go in annually, to get it done. So I think in the meantime, yes, all of us practice our physical distancing, wear our masks, and of course, wash our hands. But when you go out there, it's as if like people have completely forgotten those rules.
Yeah, I know. And it's like partying like 1999 all over again.
Yeah, I know.
It's a bit scary because Melbourne is under lockdown again.
Yeah, and you know, Hong Kong, for example, right? Yeah. I mean, they seem to be the early champions in this COVID-19 race, right? They seem to have got everything under control. But guess what? They recorded their highest one-day increase with over 100 new cases reported on Sunday. And as a result, Carrie Lam, their chief executive, has announced new restrictions to control the spread. So, you know, it's back to for some of the non-essential civil servants, is back to working from home again.
Yeah, and America as well, the government there is considering more restrictions as well. So the rising case counts in America is something worth mentioning, particularly in the Sun Belt states, which is interesting because we always thought that warmer temperatures would thwart the virus, but apparently it's not. So the LA mayor, Eric Garcetti, said he's considering another stay-at-home order for the city. And then LA County, 2,700 new cases. That's a lot. And then we've also seen Donna Shalala. She's the Democratic representative. She's called for lockdowns in Florida. Florida, 10,000 new cases on Sunday. So the US is over, nearly 4 million new cases, right? 142,000 deaths. That's a lot.
Yeah, they haven't even gotten to the stage where, you know, they have flattened the curve in any real way.
They never really adhered to those measures anyway.
Yeah, I mean, for them, the fight over the mask has become such a contentious issue. It goes back to, you know, this is my constitutional right not to wear a mask. And not helped by, I guess, the sense of leadership coming out from the White House, right? Where it has been almost, you know, oh, this is nothing, it's just a small flu, it'll go away, to, oh, okay, we're taking it slightly seriously, but, you know, you guys can, you know, every state can do whatever they want. So they are, and until very, very recently, Donald Trump was never seen with a mask. First, saying it wasn't useful. Secondly, this is the best part, he didn't look good with one.
Exactly. Typical Donald Trump.
I'm sorry, Trump, but nobody really looks good with a mask, okay? We don't wear a mask to look good. We wear it to stay alive and to prevent the virus from spreading.
Yeah.
And then, for the first time...
Not even Cara Delevingne would look good in a mask.
No. He was then only very, very recently seen wearing a mask when he went to see... army veterans in a hospital, I guess under those conditions, he had to. So when you've got that kind of signaling coming out of the White House, what do you expect? Unfortunately, the U.S., as a result, has never succeeded in flattening the curve in the first place.
Well, if you look at the U.S. Constitution, going back to 1791, the First Amendment, okay, the First Amendment, which is the cornerstone of all American politics, is basically the right to religion, speech, press, and assembly. So that's the First Amendment.
The right to live? Because it should be there.
It should be there.
Yeah, and the right to live means that everyone needs to wear a mask, right?
And very closely related to the First Amendment is the second one, which is the right to bear arms. Oh. So, I mean, that's America for you, you know?
Okay, everybody gets to do what they want, right? But I don't know how that works. Let us know what you think about any of these stories or anything we've discussed this morning. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll take a look at the front pages of our daily newspapers and online portals. We'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, I'm Wong Shaoning here with Khoo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. And that was a song dedicated just to Chuang, because it's called So Good at Being in Trouble by Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
You had to go there.
It has your name all written all over the title, Chuang.
Don't talk about Najib like that.
But talking about, you know, revivals, guess what I saw today in the paper on our table, Chuang? It's Utusan.
Wow.
Malaysia is back. And the headline is, I mean, it's got a big advertorial. Good for them, because that means ADEX money. But it's...
Depends.
Yeah, it depends. It says, Bangkit Semula. Malaysia mampu keluar lebih awal dari crisis economy. Mm. And that's the front page.
Can I just say, I haven't seen the paper until you just displayed it. You know, it looks disturbingly like the Malaysian reserve.
A little bit. Don't they share the same
owner? Yes.
So maybe they're like, Malay and English versions of each other.
Okay, the Edge Weekly bears mentioning this morning. I've got about three or four stories, so be patient with me, okay, Shaunin?
Okay.
Page 8, State of the Nation, which is one of my favourite sections of the Edge Weekly, okay? Esther Lee going with the fact that unemployment is yet to hit a peak, which is something that you have said many times before. We are nowhere near the peak of the jobless people
officially
in Malaysia.
5.3. Officially.
Unofficially, who knows, right? That should be worth, that should be read by everybody. Page 12, a news break, which means this is where the scoops are. Kang Siew Lee goes with the fact that MAS, without any public disclosure whatsoever, has apparently received a $300 million grant. Okay, but from where? Who knows? Okay, they tried to talk to Khazana. Khazana didn't reply. So interesting. That's over 1.2 billion ringgit in, I think, emergency funds. It can only be described as emergency funds. The cover story, which is written by Kamarul Azhar and Liu Jiating, two of the rising stars in the Edge. The cover story is steering Proton back to number one. And of course, we know the last few days, Proton has been charging with this charm offensive. It's their 35th anniversary in existence, okay? And they've been making a big deal with the anniversary saga edition, 39,000 ringgit. And they want to get Proton back to number one. I think Perdua's on the
still
top of the perch
one, yeah,
in some sales. But look, I mean, Proton had a really good 2 years, you know? And they're now aiming for the A and B segments, which is basically the lower,
the X50,
more affordable,
right? I think that's X50, the next one.
Yeah, and below that. So the small SUV market is where they're going. And one more story from the NST business. There's calls for a new targeted fuel subsidy. And we know that fuel prices have been going up the last few weeks. I think right now RON 95 is about 167 or something. I can't remember.
There was no price change last week.
But you know, so obviously with pockets being diminished where they are, there's this calls for at least a fuel subsidy for the more needy.
And I'm going to turn to our friendly neighbours down south, the Singapore Straits Times.
As you do.
As I do. Because there's an article in there that says, Malaysia and Goldman Sachs restart talks in last-ditch bid to reach 1MDB settlement. Now, apparently, according to their regional correspondent, Leslie Lopez, the top-level US executives from Goldman and members of their legal team arrived on Saturday after obtaining special Malaysian government approval due to the strict coronavirus travel restrictions. For talks with this special task force for the 1MDB recovery campaign led by our AG.
Interesting.
So apparently the prospects of getting a settlement are strong after both sides have agreed on the key parameters in the recent weeks.
I wonder what those key parameters are.
Well, I don't know. I think what was interesting, if I'm not wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, in the Goldman Sachs results, they made some provisioning for legal expenses.
Huh? Yeah. So
go figure what those legal expenses could be.
Yeah. I just wish there was more information on all this because, I mean, we basically paid for Lloyd's bonuses and all his other cohorts way back when, right? So they should return some of that money to us. Lloyd being Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO.
Meanwhile, the Malaysia Reserve has an article. I think the sidebar is more interesting than the main article. Main article says top 8 biggest local banks lost 36 billion in market cap over 6 months. Well, that's clearly because the financial sector around the world, not just Malaysia, isn't a favorite anymore. That the favorite clearly being technology. That's the clear winner this time round. But a sidebar saying COVID-19 Malaysia needs stricter enforcement because we have seen, if I'm not wrong, 3 new clusters over the weekend. So once again, you know, we can't keep our eye off the ball. But do let us know what you think, because that's all from the papers this morning. Coming up next is a 7 a.m. news bulletin, followed by more business news and the serious side of the morning run, where we'll be speaking to Stephen Innes, Asia-Pacific market strategist at Axie Trader. But first, here's Cradle of Love by Billy Idol, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.